This is the Planning Commission work session for Thursday, February 4th, 2016. Okay, we're ready.
Say, go ahead and roll. I was going to pull up the county code.
That was immediately right there.
And then I've been reading other things.
So I like your new website. It's very important.
You like it? Yeah.
I haven't figured out how to find things yet, though.
Well, an issue that some of us share. Yes.
It's pretty.
It is pretty. It is very attractive.
Certain secret that
so just I know I can find it going to my webpage, so no fear. It's not fear.
Oh, dogs.
So I'm going to stand here and pull this up. The item that I have in front of you is directed from the Board of County Councilors on amending the code to the rural center residential districts. We currently allow a residential treatment home, which is a place where 10 or fewer unrelated folks are treated, have service. The residential treatment facility is something that's more than 10 beds, and the board has proposed that we allow the residential treatment facility as a conditional use on RC1 and RC2.5, and there's also a caveat that it'd be on 5 acres or greater. So that's kind of the real simple piece to it. There is some background information in the information that I've provided you. We have a couple folks from Daybreak Youth Services here if you have any questions about this. And you can certainly ask me any questions that you have regarding this.
All right. So while you're poking around, why the caveat of 5 acres if you're in an RC zoning?
The idea is that, you know, for a facility you're gonna have a larger building, and rather than have the potential of a proliferation of facilities on all manner of lots in rural centers, that we looked at something that a larger parcel size, so that you would have some of these spread out more.
So it's a just in case scenario? Because I mean you don't have an application in front of you that says how much of 5 acres applicant wants to consume. If they're consuming 80% of 5 acres with their sprawling facility, that makes sense to me. But if it's greater than 10 beds, 15 beds and they need an acre and a half, why do they have to buy 5 acres?
It's a good question. This was a starting point.
Okay.
Line M is added residential care facilities on parcels greater than 5 acres would be a conditional use permit, both in RC1 and RC2.5.
I think part of the justification for that has to do with impacts to neighboring properties. The idea being that on a larger piece, there's naturally more buffering. I'm not saying that that's a good reason or a bad reason. I think it's part of the reason.
What other types of commercial facilities do we mandate that they have a specific parcel size without regard to the development?
I think we have some in our industrial zoning, minimum lot size.
I mean like rock crushing and oil refineries?
And if you look over on page 5, right across the way, you see that equestrian facilities on parcels less than 5 acres are conditional uses, and equestrian facilities on parcels 5 acres or greater are permitted. So there is a more stringent review required on the smaller parcels.
Sure.
For the idea because that there might be greater impacts on the smaller parcels because the neighbors are closer.
So there's the two definitions in our county code, one's on the care facility, one's on the care home. Each of them are operated with 24 hour supervision. It's 11 or more on the facility side, 10 or less on the care home side. And then of course there are all of these require a licensor from the Department of Social and Health Services for operation and maintenance. So there's an initial inspection by DSHS on either a home or a facility, and then either tenant improvements or new construction would certainly come through on the county building safety side.
So right now in a rural center, no provision for these facilities.
For a residential care facility, that's correct.
What was your question? I'm sorry.
My question was asking whether under the current zoning, any facility could be centered in a rural center.
Any of them can. Cannot.
Correct.
Now how about in urban zones?
Urban zones, they are allowed either permitted or conditional use.
Is there a minimum lot size associated with that?
Not to my knowledge. Residential homes are all conditional uses. The homes and facilities are conditional uses. In commercial zones, very quickly, they are these residential care homes are conditional uses. C2 is not allowed. Those are the kinds of different, either residential or commercial in the urban area.
Okay.
Any other questions I'll be able to answer? I'm here for this piece.
I saw there was some community outreach. Was there any comments at that open house?
Maybe we could have somebody from a proponent of a facility who held the open house.
Yeah, hi, my name is Annette Klinfelter. I'm the executive director at Neighborhood Youth Services. We did have a community meeting, as Patrick said, two community meetings, and certainly there are some neighbor concerns around fears associated with burglaries or kids being able to have access to easily leave the facility, break into their homes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So certainly we understand those concerns that we are a locked facility. So that we have kids who are in line of sight, staff with very small staff to child ratios, so we have one staff person for every 5 kids, which is really important. So they're always under supervision. And then what we know to be true is that after the first couple of weeks, this is the first time that they've had stability, maybe a meal for a long time, love, they're going to school. So after the first couple of weeks, they want to stay, right? But we still have the provisions of security in place to ensure the safety of our residents as well as the neighborhood. The other thing that's important is that while we do have kids who are court referred, every kid that's admitted into the Daybreak program is screened extensively for criminogenic risk factors. So we don't allow kids to come into our facility who have a criminal history that would make the neighbors at risk.
Marty, are all of the like security measures, staff ratios, are those things that are considered as part of the conditional use permit?
I believe the hearing examiner would look at those kinds of things, safety, security for the facility and for the neighborhood. They would look at those things. The one thing I put this together, and I put it together in a short order. So the one thing I see, I'm missing the meeting summary that was provided to me. So I'll go down and get a copy of that. It's 2 pages. I'll go get that and bring it up. Make sure you have that before the end of the evening.
I just have a question about the size of this particular parcel right now that is the subject, this right. Old church. How many acres does it sit on?
7.5, 8 acres.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are there pyramid parcels that are 4 to 5 acres in the rural centers?
I imagine that there are in all of the rural centers in Clark County. We could probably look at GIS to query that. See how many parcels that could be eligible, and it could be the subject property that a hearing examiner will look at is it's 2 parcels contiguously owned, totaling 7.5 or 8. So you could have a contiguously owned property, 2.5, 2.5, and there you got your 5. So we can that's something that the Planning Commission would like, and I'm sure the board would like, is maybe some high level. In GIS, how many parcels are you talking about?
Would this include like hospice facilities?
No. It's narrowed to the definition of a residential care facility. And there are all these, whether it's a staff residential home, a residential care home, staff residential, or a residential care facility, assisted living, congregate care, hospice, they all have different characteristics, they all have different licensure requirements, they have different impacts, so you'll see the staff residential home item above letter L, that's for 6 or fewer unrelated youth, and they're not receiving any like treatment or services. The staff residential home was something that came up a few years ago where a home in Hazeldale was rented and there was a provider having 6 unrelated youth live there. There was no treatment or these are like wards of the state, and they need a place to stay. So that's a distinctly different type of operation with different requirements. So.
And the county successfully chased that home into the city. Was one of my clients. They ended up going and finding a place in the city where it's permitted outright. And my view is this all should be permitted outright, subject to limited standards, rather than going through the conditional use process. I think it's an unreasonable burden on nonprofit groups that are short funding. That would be my view. I'll be expressing in the hearing, so I will probably support the proposal, but I will probably push for it to go further the other direction. I'm sure that'll fall on deaf ears at the counselor's level, but that's my opinion. I no longer have a conflict because I no longer represent that client, and they did successfully find a place inside the city of Vancouver. That was permitted outright. They didn't need any permit.
Yes, we are permitted outright to represent them in Vancouver. And the other thing I think is important to keep in mind is that we, in an urban area, it is incredibly difficult to find a facility. So they've been looking for a facility for Daybreak since 1999. And we have a small 16-bed facility off of Falk Road that serves as 16 boys. We have no capacity for girls or young women. And from the entire Canadian, like the Canadian border to the Oregon border, east of Yakima, there are 58 beds, period. So we're sending a lot of kids at significant expense from this area to Yakima, to Spokane. They can be better treated at home. And so finding, we've looked for a number of years for a facility within the city limits that would be initially permitted and have been unsuccessful. If you are interested in visiting this facility, I would welcome you to and would be happy to facilitate a tour. But it is perfectly situated for our purposes. I have yet to see a church. I call it the church that fell out of the sky. That's more perfectly suited for our purposes. I mean, it literally has a corridor with 10 big bedrooms on one wing, another corridor with 10 big bedrooms on another wing that could easily accommodate 4 residents per room. A huge commercial kitchen and an area that can be easily converted into outpatient, we'll have inpatient operations there as well as our administrative offices. So we'll be able to consolidate all of our current operations into one location, increase the quality of services, and significantly improve access to care locally. But I do invite you to come. I'm not kidding. I have never seen a church like this in my entire life.
So this is queued up for 2 weeks hence on a hearing, so I'll be available then, and I'm sure that these folks will be there to testify. And let me, before I leave, let me go down and print off the meeting summary, and you can have that as well.
Can we have a map
for it out
here?
Yeah, we can show you. Yeah, we'll
show you.
Yeah,
it's
around
it.
Yeah, sure. Any questions? Any other questions?
I just have a comment that I'm not going to be here at the actual hearing. And if I could proxy vote, I would. And I would be voting for it. So I understand and know about the kind of difficulty there is in finding these facilities. And it's much needed. And I doubt, just like they can't ever promise. Nefarious things won't happen, but I don't think nefarious things will happen. This is a necessary thing. And it's fantastic. I just say it's fantastic. Right. And it's fantastic that this building is there and can be used.
Right, exactly. It's just sitting there.
I know.
And we've tried to tell the neighbors that while they can't promise, all we know is what we know. And what we know is that in the last 40 years, since we've been in operations in Spokane, and the last almost 20 years we've been in operation here in Vancouver, we have never had an incident of a resident doing any harm to neighbors. Right. We have no incidents.
Right.
So,
I'll go downstairs and get some of that stuff and come back.
Okay.
Yeah. Is that the Silver Star School in Spokane?
No, it's not. We have our facility on Calvin Street, 628 Calvin Street. It is right near Sandra Hart.
I hope I didn't
screw you up all over.
But I think that the other thing, of some of the reports, we did actually have neighbors from the Greater Fresh Prairie Neighborhood Association come out in support. So we have probably half of the room of people who are really supportive, because they, like many of you, understand that the need is great. And they also see that this building has been sitting vacant for 8 years, and neighbors have been using it for solid waste disposal, right? Kids are coming in, and they're setting off, they're shooting their BB guns, and they're, setting off their fireworks in the summer. So there are many neighbors who live in that area who actually believe they might be safer by having the facility inhabited.
So for the Planning Commission, I guess the only thing that I would say, it sounds like, we're all fairly positive towards this proposal, and the way that it's crafted, it really looks like it's crafted around making sure this facility fits and we can get it in with no problem. I'd like us to think about future facilities and the future needs, and that was why I brought up the acreage requirement. And if we're genuinely concerned about neighborhood security, we have to address the concepts in the form of setbacks, I think. And if you look at the setbacks are standard rural setbacks. And so to put a 10,000 square foot facility on 5 acres, I think puts us in an unnecessary burden in a lot of cases. But if we feel like we really have to surround it with that much property, then the setbacks have to be different than what we have proposed here. So to endorse the large acreage, I think, should also mean that we're endorsing different setbacks than what are present in the document.
What do you think would be reasonable? Just curious.
I think these setbacks are actually reasonable. And there are going to be other abandoned facilities that may be equally as appropriate, but on smaller acreage. And we want to say, are we going to prevent that from taking place by boosting the setbacks up to such a point that an existing facility would not be adequate? Because most of anything in a rural center that's already built is going to already have these setbacks in place. So that's kind of, I think that kind of lines up the dialogue that I would like to have in concerns of the proposal as written.
And what's the relationship between the setback and security?
Perhaps it was prior before you came. I voiced the concern about why did we need 5 acres or greater to site a facility such as this. And there was some discussion about whether it was to enhance security, neighborhood concerns.
I guess I don't see the relationship between a setback and security. I can see a setback as you want to buffer because there's going to be noise or that type of an impact, but I'm not sure I see the relationship.
Well, setbacks are the only buffer that's applied here in the context. So if we really felt like we needed to centralize a building with large buffers around it with bright lights or whatever the case, I'm not advocating for any of that. I just think that when we discuss it, we should have some rationality about why do we need 5 or greater acres, and especially in a rural center, coming up with 5 acres or greater is spendy by itself.
And that was Rod's question. Why 5 acres? And then it was just an idea, Chris thought that what the idea was security.
No, actually, I said impacts.
Because
I know there was complaint about parking and of things like that.
Okay.
I didn't say that I thought that was a good reason or an adequate reason. I just think it was a reason.
And I can understand impacts being a reason. Security, that to me is addressed more by supervision and those sorts of things. Not, we're going to set it back another 50 feet from the property line.
And it would be interesting to know some of what this meeting brought about, whether there was more talk about impacts or security.
Go ahead.
I would just mention that the other impact that's come up is
traffic transportation. And we had Chris Raymer of Wilson do a good analysis comparing the prior church use to this use.
Yeah.
And so we have a really good analysis showing that the, you know, the church generation is significantly lower.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, explaining that to neighbors, I think that, that's going to go far in addressing their concerns about it.
And I think ultimately what came up in that meeting was that there's people who've lived in that neighborhood for a long time, and that was the pasture that they run their horses on, right? And so watching that building be constructed and then be inhabited by a Russian Slavic population that was culturally different from that neighborhood, did they resent the fact that it was ever built? Right? And I can empathize. I grew up in a rural community and you know, property that my grandfather homesteaded, and it would have been awful to watch a big building be erected next door and eclipse our view of the mountain. But the reality is that it's not going to go back to its natural state. It is there. And maybe something tragic that happened for that neighborhood could turn into something good, just genuinely saving the lives of kids and getting them off the streets.
What are the activities of the facility?
So we do, we have a fully accredited school. So they go to school every day. They get up in the morning, they have breakfast. As much as possible, we want them to be normal kids. So they have breakfast in the morning, they meet with their counselors, they meet as a cohort group, right? And then they go to breakfast, then there's rec and exercise, and then they either go to school, or they go to a group or a treatment activity, or they go into a career and vocational readiness component of the day, and then they just like in a school day, right? They rotate through content and curricula. And then during the evening hours, we go on outings. Although we're looking forward to inviting the community into the facility to have NA meetings or AA meetings for kids when appropriate. But we either go on outings in the evenings, go to movies, have, you know, study time, homework time, get to bed on time, get up in the morning, and provide that structure.
How about weekends?
So the weekends are the time where, like, for example, we have a partnership with the Grace Ministries Horse Ranch, which isn't far from this facility. And so we have an equine therapy program. And so during the weekends, they go out and they clean the horse stalls. Right? We look forward. In Spokane, we've got girls who are there, who are from going on horseback riding outings to going to volunteer activities to going to the YMCA. So during the weekends, we're trying to expose them to what normal kids are doing, which is being active in the community and being effective contributors, doing volunteer work that way. And actually, you would think that, like, so we follow the data very, 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 very closely. We look at, like, when they're getting in fights and things like that. You know, when do those things happen? And you would think that they happen on the weekends when they have the most downtime. And in fact, they don't. They don't happen on the weekends. They kind of happen in the evenings when it's like after school and after a group and after dinner, and they're kind of grumpy. And, you know, this one kid wants to watch something on television that I don't want to watch. And they pull the chair out from underneath them, right? That's when we have the incidents. So the weekends are our best times because they really, truly enjoy being out and being active in the community. And they often will say, this is, you know, like, I don't feel like I'm a drug addict here. I told them, no, you're not. Because you're not solely just a drug addict. You're a child who's in many ways been victimized by your family and circumstances. And you have a bright future ahead of you. And so here is where you get to learn that you're not a drug addict, that you're a being that has
Ron, do you have a lot size that you think is more appropriate? 1 acre, 2 acres, 2.5 acres?
I guess I would think about it more in terms about addressing the impacts with some specifics, and then that helping shape the size of the facility more than I'd like to say it has to be 2.5 acres or 1 acre or whatever the appropriate number is. And I think what's going to end up happening more often than not is we're going to see the same circumstance of what's taking place here. Is we're going to find some underutilized or abandoned facility that's in need of a new mission. And then we're going to say, does it fit the criteria or not? So if we want to avoid, I think, the conditional use scenario, then I think we're going to need to start talking about what we believe is necessary to mitigate impacts to help kind of design that. Because it would be wonderful, going to Steve's point, if people were able to look at a facility, look at our document that regulated that facility, and be able to say it's in or it's out, rather than have to go down the conditional road path.
I think there's too many variables in this kind of thing to say just here's your checklist, check them all, because you may be able to mitigate, it may not meet this check mark, but you can mitigate it by doing this. I'm fine with conditional use. I would also be supportive of opening up the lot size and saying, hey, if you can do all of, you know, whatever it is going down the list, or you can't do this, you can mitigate it by doing this. I'd be supportive of doing it on the smaller lot sizes. Because you're right, what if it's a great site on 4.9 acres?
Yeah. Do many of your clients come with vehicles?
No.
No. So in the context of parking and transportation, are you mostly talking about staff and visitors?
Mostly, yeah.
Okay, so on a invitational visiting day where you're expecting a high amount of visitors, is it one extra vehicle per client, roughly, plus staff?
I think we were looking at, like, maybe, and this would be, like, assuming that all of the children had visitors inside,
yeah,
but that's not the case, right?
Yeah, but...
And staff, so maybe 50.
And you're going to be expecting to house how many?
About 40.
About 40?
Mm-hmm.
So a staff ratio at peak about 4 to 1?
Yeah. And the weekends, because then we also have, you know, kitchen staff.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So, I mean, I think we could talk about that kind of scenario as far as if traffic was an impact and parking was a consideration. Certainly, you could talk about the need for being able to accommodate peak parking of some number if it's 1.5 vehicles per resident or something of that nature. That'd be one way of doing it. If it was in the context of it's being adjacent to commercial versus residential, we might want to look at the idea of what are the current setback requirements and are they adequate for that? Because other than traffic and noise, what other impacts would we genuinely be voicing concerns about? I think when we get to the minutes of what the community meeting was, we'll have more discussion
Thank
about
you.
That. But.
It's good timing.
Is there latent demand for more of these facilities now?
Yeah. We have, just to put it in perspective, we have 60 kids on the waiting list right now, just for Vancouver. It can take anywhere for up to 3 months for it to get access to a bed. And when you think about that window of readiness, right?
Yeah.
That one day where they're, you know, they're scared enough because they came close to an overdose,
yes,
and they're ready to go into treatment that day, and they have to wait 3 months, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that is the heartburn that I experience every day.
Yeah.
I think it'd be interesting to know how much of the problem is actually solved, and clearly solved by the current issue right away, is this going to provide the parcels to be able to
By 2 weeks out, I can see if Bob Poole and GIS can put together some information. They do GWIS work, you know. Right?
Accepting the assumption.
Well, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I have an idea. I'll have an idea, which is I'll ask GIS to map the rural, the different rural centers we have there. How many?
It's about
eight?
Seven or eight.
So the rural centers, and have them look at, I think, a couple different screens. One would be at 2.5 acres, which the RC 2.5 makes sense, right? And then 5 acres, see what kind of penetration there would be in the rural centers. So I'll ask GIS to put together that map.
Are you on septic out there?
Yeah.
Can you have to enlarge that?
Yes.
That could be another factor in
lot
size.
That makes sense.
There's more than adequate space in the septic.
Yeah, 5 acres. But
if
they're
moving
to
it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so they're going to go to Mary Lake to get to it.
Sorry for the delay. I had to find who sent me this.
And then, that's right. And then, we were able to have a lot of lively conversation while you were gone. Well,
and then I was stupid and printed this on my printer, which is slow. It's not a high production printer. I'm like waiting for this thing.
Now you're on the record.
Skips off the page.
No, it doesn't. Oh.
Idiosyncratic.
All right.
Never mind.
All right, Oliver, are you next?
Looks like it.
I think we're going to be done.
Yes. I don't know when we are going to be done. All I can.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Marty.
I apologize for the rocky start and getting this too late.
We survived,
right?
Thank you.
So, what has happened since we last provided you update on 2016 comp plan review process? I just want to go through quickly and identify what has happened and then see if you have questions or maybe clarification. I will say that, which I believe you are aware, on November 24th, 2015, the Board of County Councilors approved a preferred plan with what is known as Choice B assumptions or planning assumptions and revised Alternative 4B map. You are aware that of that. Then you and the planning and the councillors did had your joint work session, and then you went separately to have your hearing, second hearing, on November 19, that you were asked to reconsider your previous recommendation. So I'm just refreshing your memory of that. On December 8, 2015, the county signed a contract with RW Top and Associate out of Mercer Island. And the contract was for Top and Associate to vet the planning assumptions and to prepare an addendum, if necessary, to inform the DEIS work that have already been done to satisfy the CEPA process. And that will enable our existing contract or consultant ESA to finish the final CEPA, if you will. So we all went away and Top started vetting the planning assumptions. And when the new councillors came on board, the chair and the new councillors, we decided that we should have an update with the five councillors just to bring them up to speed as what have happened. it happened that Mr. Top completed his first draft or draft of the vetting of the planning assumptions. So on January 13th of this year, the newly the five council members had a work session, and also they reviewed the top report. The top report found that four of the eight adopted as choice B assumptions are invalid. Two are partially invalid, and two are valid. One of the valid choice B assumptions was the same assumption that had been used in the review of the DEIS. For example, when the DEIS was reviewed, staff did not include parcels that are in timber or designated forest land. So TOP found that excluding that is valid in estimating the potential number of lots. Four of the seven, as I indicated, were found invalid. Three of the invalid assumptions caused a reduction of about 5,755 projected rural and resource lot from the alternative A to the alternative B that Councillor Madoy, if you will, developed. That reduction did not include the use of market factor in alternative 4B that resulted in further deduction from available rural land inventory. What does all this mean? With that information, the new council will be having a hearing on February 16th. We had scheduled a hearing on February 19th to correct some mapping errors that resulted in the development of alternative 4B. They decided to move that hearing or continue that hearing to February 16th, at which time they will reconsider the preferred alternative given the weight of the top report. That's all I can report in terms of what have happened so far. I would say stay tuned. I don't know what they're going to do on February 16th. Your recommendation is still on the table. I think what it could be, I would say that it's safe to say that because alternative 4B have not been studied in the DEIS and the top report that have invalidated some of the planning assumptions or the foundation for which 4B was developed, I don't know what the new council is going to do. It makes it very difficult to proceed with the 4B given the weight of the top report. And they may fall back to your recommendation, or they may fall back in picking their own preferred alternative that falls within the four that was already studied in the DSEIS. We will see. The only thing I can say is that we have continuously put them on notice that we have to meet our statutory deadline, which is June 30th. But that really means that we have to get all our documents to the state of State Department of Commerce by April 30th to meet our 60-day notice. So that's what I can tell you, that we have to wait and see what the council decide to do on the 16th. If they pick an alternative that reflect your recommendation, I think we can work very hard with my staff to see if we can meet the deadline. That's all I can really do. Some of them have already put our staff on notice that we may be coming in on weekends, if need be, just to get this thing done. Because we don't have the luxury not to comply with that state deadline. We cannot, we do not qualify for an extension. Only the legislature can give the county extension, because the way that is written, the county, there is some threshold, population threshold, in order to meet or in order to qualify for an extension. We don't, and neither do all any of the seven cities in Clark County qualify for an extension. So we're obligated to finish unless we are out of compliance. The other thing I wanted to bring to your attention is that you may have seen the new PC docket that Sonia sent to all of you. I apologize, but I'm putting you on notice that I'm looking at May, June for joint work sessions and hearings on the comp plan. But before that, you will be seeing the comp plan text that all of you have seen before. One more time in March and April before we present the proposed changes to the councillors. The idea to do that is to bring those planning assumptions, not planning assumptions, but the text changes back to you to see if you have any final comment, thoughts, whatever, in a work session before we send them to the planning commission, to the councillors. What I will ask though is, would you like to see, in terms of showing our work, would you like to see the chapters in track changes? Or would you like us to also provide you a clean copy just for easy read? You tell me, whatever, whichever one you want, I'll provide that. If you want it in track changes so that we can show you what is it that is new or what we are deleting, that is available to you. If you want a clean copy or both copies, I will provide it to you. I will also add that some of the chapters will not come in, let's say, chapter 1, chapter 2, 3. They may come in chapter 1, chapter 5, depending on how soon we get it to you. Finally, you can also tell me if you want it in a printed, or whether you want me to send you a PDF. If I'm going to send you a printed copy, I want to reduce the cost of doing courier to you, so I can send it through PDF. If you so desire, I'll do that. Our goal is really to make this easier for you. I know you have other things to do, so you let me know what you like and I will accommodate that. So that's all I have. I'll take questions.
Are you expecting a long hearing on the 16th for a lot of public testimony, similar to what you
said? It's likely that it will be a long hearing. I know that the councillors, that's one thing I forgot. There is a meeting this coming Friday.
Friday the 12th.
It is being sponsored by CCCU, that is Clark County Citizen United, at Hawkinson High School at 7 p.m. I don't know how many of the councilors will attend that, but
I suspect there will be two.
I suspect there
will be. And I will be there.
I'm not planning to go. I'm not invited. It's not a county-sponsored event. So I don't know. We may get a large crowd on the 16th, and that may prolong the hearing. But we have our staff report, and it's available on our grid. I'm anticipating that it will be posted on the commissioner's or councilor's grid very soon. So you're welcome to read that if you like. I wasn't really planning on providing it to you. Now it's going before the councilors, but if you go to our webpage, you can pull our staff report out. Sonia, it's not on the grid yet. You can go to.
Oh, it's not on the grid yet.
No, but it's on our own webpage. Go to 2016.
I was trying to find the board's monthly calendar on the new website, and I couldn't find that.
Monthly calendar.
Scroll down, let me see. Keep on going down.
Yeah, staff report. Yeah,
okay, right here.
This one?
Yeah, that's it. That's our staff report, and all the exhibits are in there. So take it if you like to read that on at your spare time. Go ahead and read that. We laid out the background. We laid out what have happened. I think we provided a path forward and what we think is the procedure that the council would have to follow to get us to, really moving this plan update forward. So I will take questions that you may have.
So
yes.
You asked several questions. I guess for my preference, PDF is fine. I would like to see track changes.
Okay.
If you wanted to include a clean copy on the PDF separately, that's great. But if I only got to choose one, I would prefer track changes. That's my choice.
Okay.
I know what the rest of the commissioners think about that.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I would want.
Yeah,
okay. So absolutely that way. And just, I guess, for letting you know, if this runs past the 2nd of June, I'm going to be hitting vacation times. Kids are getting out of school, grandkids are gone, my daughter's graduating, and I'm just not going to be around the later part of June, knowing that the 30th is the absolute drop dead. I'm dropping dead earlier than that, so.
But don't we anticipate, or don't we aspire to have it finished by the end of April?
Yes.
So all of those joint hearings scheduled for April and May, they would be, or for May and June,
well,
they would have to be moved earlier.
We have to move them early. The board may do their own hearing, separate hearing in June. But I'm setting up May, June.
But
in case.
In case. But if we go back to the board docket, the PC docket.
Planning Commission docket.
Planning Commission docket, right. No, you're right. This is...
So, Oliver, can I ask you a question? What's due in April? Is it a draft or is it our final adopted document?
It's everything, like this, all the documents, our CFP, and all the materials or document that we have completed.
But does it have to be the final adopted version, or does it just have to be...
It's all draft, right. Needs to go, yeah, it's all draft.
The final, has always been the very last document that we do.
Yes, it's all draft.
But it has to be adopted by the end of June.
Yes. When we send it to Commerce, we tell them that the county, maybe you have finished your own hearing, the board will be having their own hearing, whatever date, and the anticipated date of adoption is X, just to meet our deadline, and we'll ship that up to Commerce, just to begin our 60-day review period.
So do we have to have our hearings done before that 60-day review, or can we
We can time it in such a way that we just notify them that you're beginning your hearing. The board will continue theirs, but we just want to get the 60-day comment period kick off.
You're going to get all your work done?
Yes.
By the day in April to meet
yes.
the 60-day? Okay.
Yes.
So if we submitted our draft to them and then we're having the hearing, what can we really do at the hearing other than hear people express their opinion about what we're doing or about what's already been done and decided?
It hasn't been decided it's a draft, because if you make changes, that will be captured in the adopting resolution.
But then wouldn't we still need Commerce's comments and need to restart the 60-day comment period?
No.
That's where I was.
No. If you can make changes before it's finally adopted, and if that's the case, the adopting resolution will capture that.
Okay.
And that will also go back to CTED.
Oliver, should just clear that for my simple mind here. 4 were were did not stand the test. Two partially didn't stand the test. One was irrelevant. So technically, 7 out of 8.
You can say that, yes.
7 out of 8. So only one part of the review was successful. So
yes, and one of the ones that they said is valid is this: what to do with the remainder lots in the cluster, not to include it in estimating the number of potential lot in the rural area. We've had issue with this, and we don't have, you hear me say, we don't have a good record, but I've gone back with GIS staff and my staff to really try to look even in our microfiche or film to see what can we go back and see the number of clusters that occurred pre-GMA, pre-1994 and post-1994 to see what are the number and can we really estimate what the potential number of rural lots are by zone. I have that information. Remember the board, the county repealed the cluster in 1993.
For resource.
In 1993, we did not have a provision for clustering in the R5, 10, and 20 until 1999 or 2000. So we have good information on that. So going forward, so that's the only one that Top came back and said, "Yeah, that's okay. Let's eliminate including that." That, you know, I agree with him. I will only say that it is, there are some issues when you really look at them. There are some that doesn't have note on the plat. There are some that some of the owners have gone in and do boundary line adjustment and enlarge the remainder and still, you know, coming in, developing them. There's so many things that are happening out there. When our code also says that when the zoning change, those remainder laws developed. And three, when those remainder lots with a cluster comes into the urban growth boundary, they develop. So you can include them, you can exclude them, whatever the case may be, but I'm saying going forward, let's flag where they are and identify what potential number that is so that we don't include it in the future. That's all we can do. But there are so many issues with what you do with the remainder, how do we treat them, but that's the only one that the consultant came back and said, yeah, if you exclude them, we are that should be okay. The rest we just found not to be invalid. And it's, you know, without, you know, elaborating the issue, it pretty much confirms your recommendation. You rejected that as well. So it pretty much confirms your recommendation and the review when we came before you or when the board asked you, the council asked you to reconsider. You went back to your previous recommendation and that's what is now before them if they choose to go there.
But now either they reconsider or we go forward with what has been the adopted preferred alternative.
It's gonna, yeah, that's true, but
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Don't you expect that some of the cities will be bringing up the annexations or the other expansions that we've had? Couple of them have
Well, the board adopted its preferred alternative approval of all those.
All of them, yes.
That was one of the marketing lines was we'll give the cities everything they want so they shouldn't complain about whatever is going on in the rural area.
That was the answer.
But if they do,
they didn't ask for anything, so they're not getting anything out of that.
Or CAMAS.
But if they do reconsider, then they're going to have to readopt
those because we have.
Well, if they reconsider, they're going to go through that chart that lists item by item and adopt a preferred alternative from scratch
right.
as Or another possibility is somebody could move to say, we move to adopt the Planning Commission recommendation. They could just do that. So.
So under no circumstance, send it back to us.
They haven't been told that that was an option.
Until now, this is on the record, Rob.
Oh, they've already done that.
We're just doing this amount of options.
That's right.
I think they know what the answer will likely be if they send it back to us a third time.
I just want to hear all of her screaming.
No, it's not my call. You know, you all, I commend you for the work that you did. And that's, you know, really how I feel about the work you did. This have, you know, taken longer than we anticipated, and it have cost the county more, and it's still costing the county more. So that's not my call to make.
Well,
but
we have an extra,
you know,
2% tax that you can use for it.
that's not my call, but
I know,
we amended the contract with ESA and added 41,000 for them to do the extra work. Now we have top we added 45,000 for top to do that work. Well, again, it's not my call. They've come back and provided their report, and you know, that's what is out there. I don't know how the councilors will use that, but in my opinion, it's not favorable to alternative 4B.
Back to the form. I prefer a printed copy, not PDF, because I'll have to print it myself, and I'd rather have a printed copy for myself.
Yeah, get it on that.
Okay, triple on that. I wasn't going to say it, but I'd rather have it. I didn't want to.
You didn't want to sound antiquated. I absolutely prefer paper.
She's in my office.
You like the hard copy? I'm getting a two. Okay, but your one is a strikeout.
Yes, right. Yes.
Wow.
Okay.
It works just like a mouse.
And if clean copy is available, you also want clean copy.
Yeah, the one for study at home would be nice to have.
That's what I'm saying. I want it ahead of time to actually make comments.
Nice. Okay.
I just have my time and I sit in my chair.
I will.
I'm sorry to do that to you.
No, that's
I think you got me spoiled over the time sending those to
me. Yes, okay. So that's all I have. If you have questions, you know how to get me. Yeah, so thank you very much.
Yeah, I think we're done. Are we done?
Yeah.
All right, we're done. Thank you all.
Thank you.
I was going to do it. I'm going to PDF.
You're over it. That's a 10 o'clock meeting, right?
Yes, in the morning, yes.
On the 16th.
On the 16th. Yeah. And you know, if any of you want to come and testify.
I'd love to come. I'm getting
used to doing something. But yeah.